Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the chat and go. That's the set name at the bottom. That you have a nickname, and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easiest for us to collate. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. And
hello,
welcome.
Timpy.
Hello, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's been quite a busy week. Narrowly avoided the Third World War. And had a few, you know, it's been edgy, hasn't it? Really?
It's funny, isn't it? The last few months, we seem to be saying that. But for a very good reason. I would say that I think people have realized a little bit of a dropping off of the energies at the moment. It's a little bit calmer. This is more to do with the fact that the establishment really at a loss as to how they play the next round. They really are now running out of things to do. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the latest situation and then just develop that a bit more generally in terms of the way we are on this planet. So, first of all, people who've done their research know that Deutsche Bank has basically been saved until January because the Chinese have come in and bought about a quarter share of the bank. The Americans didn't want that. But it's gone ahead. So that buys them at least until January, and then they'll just have to see where they go with it. The middle of last week, or the middle of the week just gone, a major Italian bank nearly collapsed, and they had to put on offer bonds and stocks to try to bring an investment in, which they did. And interestingly enough, they've declared that they're okay now till January. And I think what's happening is that the elite want the system to struggle on because Christmas is traditionally when the Western world, not exclusively, but mainly the Western world, spends lots of money. And I think they're hoping that if they can maintain the system, they can obviously gain more money. So we've got two major banks that are okay until January, and then come January, quite serious situation. The American game, and I'm calling it that, was very, very interesting about a week and a bit ago, because Obama, the outgoing president, was prevailed upon to sign an executive order that would have meant a new election in America on the 20th of December. Now, my understanding is that that's just not going to happen, but he has ordered some form of investigation into some of the polling stations. But that won't go anywhere because, as far as I'm concerned, the establishment put between 3 million and 6 million fake votes into the system to vote for Hillary Clinton. Between 3 million and 6 million. So when we now appreciate that, and we appreciate that Donald Trump won, what a mountain he had to climb, which tells us that very many people in America voted for Donald Trump, although they didn't publicly admit that. Now, I've never, ever, on this show or any show, said you should vote for this person or you should vote for another person. I've kept out of that. But going back to your lead-in, JP, basically, yes, had we had Hillary Clinton, it's my view that we would have had a Third World War within 3 months. And, you know, people can't help but notice that President Putin has made a statement saying he can now work with the new president of America and he wants to normalize relations. So we have a situation where those who are the elite really don't know what to do. We know that the Clintons, that's both Hillary and Bill, have moved somewhere between $1.2 billion and $1.8 billion either to Qatar or to where the Rothschilds are holed up in Switzerland. So they're ready to go. And I think a number of these people are ready to go. So I wanted to talk literally now about money. It is the control system for the world, predominantly so. And it's very funny, I was in a shop the other day and there were a couple of cowrie shells. Those are little tiny shells from the South Sea Island. And cowrie shells are one of the first creations of money. People used to punch holes in the shells, thread them on a string, wear them around their neck, very portable. And, you know, you could buy a piece of cheese, maybe three cowrie shells, I don't know. Other countries, they use different forms of money. But prior to money, it was barter. That's what we had. And that's really perhaps where we need to go back. And I don't mean the New Age version of barter, where the fisherman gives the baker three fish for a loaf of bread. Because that doesn't work. You know, what does a three-year-old child do? What does the disabled person do? So that rather rose-tinted vision doesn't work. We have to get rid of money, but we can't get rid of it immediately because the whole system would collapse. It has to be done over a gentle period. And the reason I'm so determined that money has to be removed, slowly but surely, is because it is the number one control element of humanity. People won't embrace change if they fear it will affect how much money they have. And they create a world around them based on what they own, their position in society, how their friends view them, where they live, rather than who they are inside. And I was saying to a very good friend of mine today that if you took a number of people off the street and you took away their cell phone and you took away all their trappings and you put them on the South Sea Island without cowrie shells and you gave them a tent, they'd probably go mad because they wouldn't know what to do. But if you took an evolved person, someone who's on their journey of spiritual development, they would look inside themselves and they'd say, well, I'm coming to terms with who I am, and that is what's important, not what I've created around me. And so it is money. If you've got £100 or $100 in the bank, perhaps you're fearful, well, if I do this, you know, I might lose my money. And that's something that I think society needs to really look at. I'm very keen and passionately wish to change the way that people are educated in the Western world, how people are treated by doctors, how the police manage the communities. All of these things all stem from a control system. And, you know, it's a shock for many, many people to think that the court system, the judicial system, is not there to uphold the law. It's up there to protect the system, the establishment, the status quo. And it's there to make sure that if you're fined, then, you know, you are being fined the amount of money that we need. And therefore, the next line is the police, and the police are not there. I'm sorry, there are going to be lots of police officers who perhaps listen to me, who might wince and pull a face at this, but they're not there really to catch criminals. The police are there to maintain the establishment. So, for instance, if you are fined, the police job is to come and collect that money off you. Because if you didn't pay it, then you go to prison. You know, the police job in the Western world is to catch motorists for speeding and, you know, fine them, either fine them on the spot or sort it out later. So the idea that elements of authority are there to protect the citizens, I think is drawing very thin now, and more people are realizing that the way that the establishment look on society is that we are all here to make money and pay them. So we are individuals who receive money one way or the other, and their job as the establishment is to get that money off us. And that's all we are to them. You know, you see all these adverts on Facebook or when you put on your internet for your emails, and all these adverts are is want to get money off you. And they don't really want to do anything good for you. They don't really want to help you. They just want to take your money. And people who know me know I've got a lot of cats, and I often go to the vets, and the vets are very good. But it's private medicine. Let's not forget that. Veterinary practice in this country is private medicine, and there are posters up in all veterinary practices which are based on fear. And there's one particular poignant picture where there's a young child, a girl, maybe 6 years old, with her head in her hands, crying her heart out, and a very, very upset-looking mother. And the caption underneath was, "Well, you didn't give the rabbit its injection, so it's died." And that's how we're all treated. We're treated to fear. If you don't do this, you're not being good. Or if you're not doing this, you're not being right. So what we've seen with the Brexit vote and the Donald Trump vote is people in two different countries, yes, we share a heritage, but we are different countries, rebelling against the establishment, rebelling against the system. And that is very positive. Now, last night I watched a film. It was the follow-up to Independence Day. And very interesting, at the end of the film, they were pushing the establishment line. The whole story revolves around an artificial intelligence globe that turns up and is going to save humanity. And the globe says that once we were organic biology figures like you, and then we changed and we became AI. And it's not as quite as bad as the Tomorrowland film, but we see how the establishment uses Hollywood to push its agenda through. And I'm hoping that things like the vote of Brexit and the vote for Trump are people rebelling against being told what to do, or we know what's best for you, you know, and the media going along with that and saying, well, it's a done deal, really. You're going to do this, aren't you? You'd be stupid to do anything other than that. No, people are independent. So, JP, I did want to just bring that brief talk up about the economy situation, but I just wanted to remind people that there is change coming, and we are actually now in a very strong position as a civilization. We just have to keep our eye on the ball for the next 3 months. Thank you.
Excellent. So, Simon, the first things first is I sent you a link I sent you a quote from Fulford about George Soros. Presumably you may not have had any confirmation of that.
I've had two. One message I'd had from a source was that he had been rushed to hospital. This is totally independent of this. The second source I had was that he was dead. But I got a third report saying that he was pretending to be dead and was disappearing, doing a runner.
Oh, he's faking his death.
Faking
his death. He's going to get away with that one. The third oldest trick in the book.
I didn't go public with it and put it on my website because, as regular listeners to our show know, I'll only go public if I get two separate sources of information which exactly agree. Now, the two bits of information I got were from two separate sources, but they didn't agree because one said he'd gone to hospital and one said that he was dead. So I can't go live with that. And then the third one I got was, well, he's pretending to be dead. So I still can't go live with it. I'm very, very careful. I only put out when I'm as sure as I can be. But yes, and one of the reasons, I only just saw, you know, just before I came on air and we just quickly talked. I haven't even seen the clip there. But one of the important things is that I've got to be very careful what I say, because certainly if he's deceased, I don't want to malign a deceased person, do I? But it's alleged by one of the sources that has fed me information that it was George Soros himself from his own pocket who was funding the demonstrations in America against Donald Trump's victory. So a lot of the demonstrations we've seen are not natural outpourings of anger against Donald Trump. They have been inspired by dollars, payment, and exactly what they did in the Ukraine to cause the destabilization of the Ukrainian government, because they paid agents provocateurs, people to go round and cause trouble. So if GS... is dead, I won't be surprised, but I haven't gone public because I'm just waiting for a more definitive bit of info.
And if he, you know, it's just like he could be reanimated at any moment. You never know these days. So, on to the serious news, let's say, in the form of today's questions. And this is a real, let's go back all the way to the beginning, because this is from Ashley. Simon, do you know of any information pertaining to Lilith, the first female before Eve, and her relationship to Anu or his sons?
Right.
Yes, take time for a breath, yeah.
Well, it's a very, very important question, actually. The reason I don't usually,
I know, we have to use the Wayback Machine to get there.
I don't usually delay, but it's actually how I structure the answer, not because I don't know what to say, but how do I structure it in a way that is fair to the creature concerned. Let us put aside the Bible for one moment. And there's so many people that have views, and every view is valid, and I'm not here to, you know, get into an argument with anybody. I just pointless. Why would I do it? But basically, Lilith was the first female successfully created. That means she wasn't the first female, but she was the first one to operate biologically. There have been a number of attempts at bringing the new humans forward, and she was the first working model. As a result of that, the bosses, who were very reptilian, insisted that she had a 100% reptilian soul, and she had a royal feminine soul. So she had a royal reptilian soul. Now, the problem with that was that it wasn't that she was a reptilian soul. Plenty of people on the planet like that. No problem. Because remember, it's what you choose to be, not what you are. But she chose to be very, I'm the queen. She forgot that she was in a human body, perhaps, and still acted as if she was a reptilian queen. And she was a nightmare. An absolute nightmare. And what happened was that, and I don't quite know how to describe it, but she was scrapped and a second female was created. This is what we would traditionally call the Eve. And this time, I don't know if you could say sense prevailed, but they said, right, okay, this is going to be the first female again. We need the purest form of female. What is the purest form? And the purest soul is Lyran. Absolutely, no question of it. So they said, well, we'll use a Lyran soul, but if we give this body a full Lyran soul, she'll rebel against us. So what we better do is mix it with some reptilian soul. So Eve had 50% Lyran, 50% reptilian, but Lilith had 100% reptilian and of a royal lineage. And that's why in the Bible and in other teachings which are not available, the Eve and Adam got on much better than the Lilith and the Adam, because the Lilith was, you know, very aggressive and very impossible to be with. So I hope that helps.
Simon, what a very measured response. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right, so are you willing to comment on Alexander Medder's video and the dismantling and release of Mind, 3D and 4D and many other matrices, etc.?
I am aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a great deal of respect for her. You know, she's interviewed me in the past. I would just be a little bit cautious, simply because my understanding is that when that happens in its entirety, then we're free. Now, I went outside today, and I still don't appear to be free. The system still appears to be operating. The control system still seems to be ticking along. So I don't doubt that something's happened, but I would just be a little bit cautious and say maybe it's not 100% as effective as Alexandra hopes. It's not a total takedown. I'm sure there's been changes, but I look on it that if the system is still working, if the mind police are still in control, if the satanic forces are still operational, if there are still some reptilians knocking about, we haven't done it yet. We're still in the same position. And so I won't be celebrating just yet.
Still process, not party. So, from James, and here's a, you know, let's really go down the rabbit hole today. Why is the Illuminati so obsessed with blood ritual? Why are reptilians so obsessed with blood ritual, Simon? Because it's not a Lyran thing, is it? It's not from my side of the family.
Well, there are two questions there. You asked about the Illuminati, and then you said the reptilians.
That's mine. Yeah, because I was you were just saying, you know, if this is all based, is it based on the conflict between the followers of Lilith and the followers of Eve? Is there stuff in this?
Well, there is, but it's far deeper than that. If you combine magic with science, and I've, you know, when I talk to people on Skype and I explain, you know, back in the days of the Renaissance period, or just before the Renaissance period kicked off, there was no such thing as science. There was only magic. And in the eyes of the people, science was magic and magic was science. And it was only literally with the Renaissance that there was a very sharp division, and that has a huge impact on magic, a massive impact on magic, but that's not to be discussed today. The Lilith thing is only part and parcel of a blood connection. When you combine magic and blood, you combine the elements of the DNA and its memory. So the drinking of blood by satanic forces has been the way to absorb the essence of an individual. If you go right back in time, it's not that dissimilar, actually, because when right back in time, if someone was dying of a sword wound and they were bleeding, then they would try and pour blood down their throat. Because they were saying, oh, you're losing blood, therefore we need to put it in. So there's always been this concept of if you take it in, it must do you good. But the object of the bloodline, that's why we have the term bloodline, is that it contains a knowledgeable information which gives you the power to take on that person's form, to attack that person. So if you were to drink some blood, you could connect with the genetic code of that blood that you've drunk, and then you can then try and shapeshift into that form. You could try and maintain your shapeshifting. You could magically attack that individual. Or you could draw the energies of that person. Let's say Diana, Princess of Wales, she was the sort of person that they would want to use like that, because she had, being the moon goddess, she had that energy. And if you spill the blood of a moon goddess at a certain time, of the celestial stars, planets, then, you know, you can create very powerful magic. So it's literally about that. It's about the energy, the information that is encoded in it. And remember that if you are not just a full-blooded reptilian soul, but if you are a reptilian overlay, it's very different from having a reptilian soul. If you're a reptilian overlay, then you may well need to drink certain sorts of blood to maintain your ability not to break down. And when we see very obviously older people in positions of maybe in the Vatican or royal families, and they begin to look absolutely hideous when they get older, that is because it's breaking down. And no need or no matter whatever else they're doing, it has a limited life. They can't keep on doing it. So that is it. It's a debate all or a story all on its own. But ultimately, blood is one of the key factors of any creational magic force.
Well, thank you. And this one's much lighter, I hope. From Emerald Isle. Simon, I hope all is well with you. The sovereign seal of error is a 13 silver-stringed golden harp representing a covenant with God and the Irish people. The strings are numbered as follows. The first four strings represent earth, fire, air, water. The next five represent sight, hearing, taste, smell, touch. And the final four represent Om, hieroglyphics, truth, and liberty. Mm. Are the 13 strings of the harp lined in any way to our 13 strands of DNA? Wishing you, JP, and your families peace, love, joy, and happiness throughout the multiverse.
Thank you. Yes, is the answer.
Okay, next question. No, please expand. That's a fascinating thing.
Well, Ireland, I believe, Ireland was the centre of what we would call Atlantis. And it's absolutely right that they would have 13 as the important number. And it's interesting that, of course, many of the Egyptian pharaohs could trace a lineage through to Atlantis. So it's of no coincidence that in some aspects there is this strange Egyptian-type connection that they have. So ultimately, because I believe Ireland was very, very strongly part of the mainland of Atlantis, the island, the actual central part, but it was near a part that was already very spiritual and very connected at that point, that the traditions have not been lost. Because it's very easy to say, oh, look, it's a rural community. You know, it's only in the last 20 years that the Irish have done this or done that, and they've always been farmers. See, that's nonsense. The reality is that the people were close to the land, and if the land still has the signature, those people are in communication with that signature. So that's why Ireland's very important, because it was part of Atlantis. That's why in England, it is Wales and Cornwall, and to a lesser extent, part of Scotland, that would be on that side of what was Atlantis. So in England, always magical part is called the Southwest. Yeah, and that is why, because that's where the center of this understanding originally created from. So yes, it's aligned to chakras, it's aligned to the DNA, it's aligned to dimensions. All of these things are connected because one higher movement leads to another higher movement and allows us to move through into another reality. So absolutely right, I agree with you 100%.
Thank you very much, Emerald Arm. Excellent question. I personally enjoyed Ireland myself a couple of months ago, and it was an experience of many dimensions, many shades of green as well. So, from Paul, question for Simon. Do reptilians use holographic technology to appear human?
I suppose we could, from a basic technological standpoint, use that word because most people understand what that means, although it's not accurate. I could just as easily say that when you go to the cinema and you sit in a chair, the projector is behind you and it throws an image onto the screen and you see whatever you see. That's not holographic. That's an image projected. But light is the key movement here. You can't do it without light. But instead of imagining a image being projected onto something, can you imagine a combination of something inside a physical biological body that radiates out and uses the features as the screen? But instead of showing the picture on the inside of the body, it shows the picture on the outside of the body. And can you also then try to visualize what I call, and we've just mentioned it earlier, an overlay. You know, Halloween, what the Americans call trick-or-treating, where somebody throws a white sheet over themselves and they pretend to be a ghost. Well, that's what an overlay is. If you can imagine dropping a sheet over somebody, but instead of it being a material that hides the features, it is a see-through material to a certain extent, and it takes on the shape of the person, but the features of the face change. But because there's something inside, it meshes with the biological form. This is the problem that David Icke had. When David Icke talked about psychopaths in government, he had no problem. Everything else was fine. As soon as he talked about shape-shifting reptilians, in the true sense of the word, not just someone who has a reptilian soul and can shape-shift, I'm talking a person that's not really human. He lost a lot of supporters because for them at that time, that was a bridge too far. Although he was absolutely right, as far as I'm concerned, to bring that out and to do that, because you had to start it somewhere. But that's in effect what we're talking about. We're talking about very few people on the planet who are absolutely not human of any side. And it was President Putin who actually called George Soros, the guy we think may or may not be dead, he actually called George Soros, you old dragon. And Putin also said that something like 75% of the world leaders were not of a human origin, but were of a satanic stroke reptilian. So he came out and said that. It wasn't going to be covered in the main news, but I think you can even now still get online and find one of the Russian papers or the version that's translated into English carrying his speech. And he outed them, and he actually named about 5 or 6 people that he said are not human. They belong to a satanic stroke dragon lineage. That's why the establishment in Washington don't like Putin. That's why the establishment in Britain don't like him. Not because he's a Russian president, but because he's a Russian president that they can't control. He's a Russian president that comes out and says, well, actually, you're not human. So always try to understand, please, the division between somebody who has a reptilian soul or a part reptilian soul, who may be a really nice and good person, but somebody who has an overlay, which is not holographic, but appears to be holographic because it appears to be that shape. But if you push your finger into one of these people, you will find flesh and blood. It's not holographic. You can't put your hand through it. There is a real physical being there. And what they'll do is they'll take a regular biological person and then do something on the inside and something on the outside. That's why Princess Diana was always destined to be into the royal family and always destined to be murdered, because what happens is that this bloodline, these elite, becomes stale. It becomes, it breaks down. So you have to bring in fresh earthly genetics, but also higher human genetics to maintain the link. Well, reptilians were not born on this planet. Reptilians came from God knows where, and they arrived here and they were not part of the earth. So to establish yourself, you have to mix with the local people. That's why Eve was 50% Lyran, 50% reptilian, because Lyran is human and the earth can work with that. When Lilith was created, she was 100% royal reptilian dragon soul. The earth couldn't cope with that. So what they've learned is they have to mix what I refer to as higher human energies into the reptilian to maintain its anchoring on the planet. And that's what poor old Princess Diana was. She was merely an anchor to maintain the elite's hold over their physical shape. So I hope that helps.
Well, fascinating, very fascinating. God, that makes me want to ask lots of questions. But anyway, let's keep going. From Defeat NWO, dear Simon, the Great Pyramids of Giza, as far as I understand, used hydraulics or water as a source to power a type of harmonic system. What was the intention or function behind the sound system? Did the Ket Kuri use it to send signals into space? Was it used to contact other aliens? Is it beneficial to humans? And could it work and be used today?
So, right. The Ket Kuri didn't control the facility. They were just brought in to help to build it. So they weren't the controllers of it. They were simply brought in as an expertise, as a contractor. Best way to put that out. It can't be used today because the crystals that were in the long stairway were all removed around about the end of the Ice Age, when there was a final falling out between two members of a certain prestigious family. When you build something, you very rarely build it just to do one thing. That's not clever. What you try and do is you try and get it to do lots of different things. And if you don't have the technology, it fails. I'll give you an example. Jet aircraft for the military are very expensive. And always up until, I suppose, the 1960s, late 60s, early 70s, they'd had what they call a fighter, and they made those. And there was a fighter bomber. They made those. Then there was an interceptor, and they made those. Then there was a reconnaissance, and they made those. But it was really expensive. So what they said was, why don't we get one aeroplane to do everything? It can be a fighter and a bit of a bomber and a bit of a this, that, and the other. And of course, it did not have the technology for it, and it failed. Because it could perform very well in one role, but was only mediocre in the other roles. With technology increasing, it's better, but it's still not brilliant. But when you have off-planet technology, you are capable of making something do many things and all at the high end. It's undoubtedly the pyramid was there as a beacon. And people would say, well, hang on a minute. If you've got that sort of technology, why on earth do you need a lighthouse to find the light? But if you are traveling through tunnels, portals, wormholes, whatever you want, your instrumentation doesn't work. That's not actually widely understood. Only your internal navigation systems work. You cannot look outside. You are in a vortex from A to B. Once you're in it, you're in it. And you cannot know what's on the other side until you get there. But this device was capable of penetrating through to some part of those tunnels and communicating. It was also an early warning system, what was coming through certain portals. Remember, some of these tunnels don't exist anymore. And also remember that the pyramid is far older than the establishment are prepared to admit. If you look at the construction of the pyramid, it's very interesting that it is made up of limestone blocks, but also blocks of basalt, which is a volcanic rock, which is extremely dense and very heavy. And if you were able to set up a resonation through frequencies of crystals laid out, you would find that the basalt would vibrate at a different rate from the limestone blocks. So it was also a form of regeneration, a regeneration chamber, and I haven't yet seen anybody writing about this yet. But that is why, in later days, when the power and the knowledge had been lost, it wasn't about burying somebody in this chamber. It was about sending their essence to Orion, what are tentatively called the ventilation shafts. And nothing to do with ventilation. They're to do with sending out energy at that correct angle, which points towards Orion. So they were going to send their royal pharaoh back to where he came from. But that was because they didn't understand by this time in Earth's history, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, they had lost all the technology and they were just playing out folk myths. But when it was actually operational, it was a facility, it was a military base, it also had the ability to regenerate people or regenerate some people. So it did more than one thing. And there are, quite rightly, lots and lots of books written on the subject, but I haven't really had the time, sadly, to read many of them. But what happens is an author gets a, we'd say in this country, a bee in his or her bonnet. They get a real theme going and they devote their book to their thesis. I mean, that's absolutely fantastic. If you have an idea, go out there and do it. But they don't seem to be really willing to understand that when it was created with more than one option. You know, you are going to invest in such a device that you don't just have it to do one thing. Now, the other important point to mention, and nobody seems really, that I've read, but I haven't read widely on it, why is it built in terrestrial material? If the technology was so fantastic, why on earth is it built like that? And the reality is that the individuals who were responsible for the building of that, the only technology they had arrived with them on their spacecraft. They did not have access to anything further. The greatest resource on the planet was humans. So once you showed humans how to make metal rather than Stone Age tools, once you got them to understand metal, you had a limited amount of advanced technology, but you had a massive amount of slave labor. And I know the Egyptians don't like to think about the pyramids being built by slave labor, but I can assure you that's exactly how they were built. And that's it. You have a small amount of technology. You use the materials you have on the planet you've found. That's the raw stones. But you have the understanding that the locals don't have. So you know that if you combine this frequency with this crystal, which you brought with you, or you've mined and you've actually cut using the material, the lasers on your own ship, and you know that if you place them at this distance and at this angle, you will get this sound, and you need a porous stone, which is limestone, you need a very heavy, dense stone, which is basalt, and you can create the King's Chamber or the Queen's Chamber, and you know how sound waves work, and you can absolutely have the dimensions of your room as you want, then you can create a technology which we don't understand now. Because our understanding of technology is transistors and wires and cell phones and motor cars. Even at high levels within universities, frequency and sound waves are only just now becoming a subject which they can look at and understand to a further point. The Germans were working on it. They were looking on creating a microwave that would disable alien spacecraft. The British were working on this in 1939, and it was actually a Scottish inventor who created something which, as part of a deal with Roosevelt, that's what brought the Americans into the war, because Churchill actually gifted them this technology to bring Roosevelt in on the war. So these things have been discovered and lost, then rediscovered and then lost. And then many, many years later, rediscovered. And so when I find a book and it says this was invented in such and such, I'm thinking, well, actually, no, it wasn't. It was rediscovered. But it had been around for a very long time. Fascinating subject. Mustn't go on any more about it.
Well, you know, I'm a pyramid fan myself. I have my own like you said, it's a multiple thing. But there's one thing is... do you know the Wardenclyffe Tower that Tesla built?
I know of it.
Basically, it was a conductor held up on the top of a tower. The tower is inconsequential. But the idea is that there's a conductor held up in the atmosphere a couple of hundred feet, so that there's a potential difference of quite a lot. And you can farm energy from the atmosphere using this and then distribute it throughout the world for free. That's what Wardenclyffe Tower is about. And from what I can see, whether the capstone was made of shungite, which is a conductor, or gold, as some people say, it's a conductor held high in the air. Exactly is what the Tesla Tower does. And there's also stories about that there's actually enormous coils that were wrapped around the pyramids. That were exactly like a Tesla coil, the pyramidal cone versions. So yeah, I've done a bit of study about this, and it's,
I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
The Egyptian term for what we call a capstone is called the Benben stone, and it is significant, of course, that it is the Benben stone that is shown disassociated from the pyramid on the United States $1 bill.
Yeah.
And the eye, the all-seeing eye. But unlike Tesla, this thing wasn't designed to give energy free. The pyramid was designed to transmit energy to certain facilities that were controlled by it or were in relation to it, but also to draw in energy. It was one of the many features that it had. I totally agree with you, JP.
Mm. So it's a kind of pump on many different levels as well. Last one is that in the King's Chamber, they took water and turned it into plasma, which could then be directed through the electrical coils like a kind of harp thing, combination harp, and they could create weather anywhere they wanted. They could they phase array the coils using a very simple, you just move the phase of the vibration in the King's Chamber.
And no Egyptologist has given a successful answer or an answer that I'm happy with as to why there's this coffin in the King's Chamber that is actually made of basalt with a very interesting hole and chip in it.
And it's got an interesting frequency. If you tap the side of it, it makes 108. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's about hertz. Yeah, 108 hertz. Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
And, that's the A frequency. There's a note of A.
Yes.
Anyway, long story. Let's just, let me just drift away back into, question land. So that was great. Thank you very much, Defeat NWR. From Tina. Hello, Simon. Thank you so much for your kind words. I hear love and understanding in them. They always open my heart and make me feel positive about our future again. Question. How can we get rid of all the evil in the system? Those who profit from the evil system and carry it out will not leave voluntarily, will they? All I wish for is freedom and love and peace for all, and all of us, especially our children.
Well, that's a lovely thing to say. Thank you for that. Very kind of you. Much appreciated. We've just been talking about the Great Pyramid. So if you imagine the pyramid and we're all at the bottom holding up those above us, the ones at the very top are the ones that you're referring to. The only way that these people at the very top survive is because we keep holding the bloody lot up. That's the reality of it. And if enough people actually in a peaceful way said, I'm no longer going to do what you want. I'm no longer going to play your game. I'm not going to support you anymore. And the only time I think in Great Britain that I can think of where we saw that was with the poll tax, where it wasn't just black people rioting in Brixton or Lambeth in Britain. It was white people, middle class people who had good jobs, who were passively not paying the tax. And it brought down a prime minister. And still people didn't understand. You know, you can riot and smash and do all what you want, and it doesn't actually happen. But if people withdraw their labour, or they withdraw their tacit support, and they stop playing the game, then the system begins to collapse, because it's like a giant Ponzi scheme. You know, it only works because all this energy has been sucked in at the bottom, and it's been channeled up to the top. And so, as long as people don't question, they just do what they're told, it will continue. But we've seen through Britexit, and we've seen through Donald Trump's victory, that actually people are not now doing what the establishment are telling them to do. People were told to stay into Europe. People were told to vote for Hillary Clinton. But they didn't. And so there is hope. There really is hope. Because people who perhaps just a few months ago were slavishly, and I'm using the word deliberately, slavishly going about their daily work, their daily life, unquestioningly, they weren't happy, but they were doing it because they didn't see any choice, have now perhaps been pushed so far that they're thinking, to hell with this, I'm not going to do it anymore. And that's the indomitable human spirit. And that's the thing that these evil people can't break. But unfortunately, humans can be pushed a long way before they stick their heels in the ground and say, that's it, no further. Britain's particularly difficult because we never had a revolution in this country. I know that the revolutions in France and America didn't bring about the change that perhaps those who were in the revolution hoped for, but it is very interesting that in Britain we never had a revolution because people were always wanting to get on the ladder. And if you had a revolution, maybe I couldn't get up the next ladder. And it was Napoleon Bonaparte himself who said, the English, he was obviously referring to the English, not to the Welsh or the Scottish people, the Irish. He said, the English people are a people of shopkeepers. Now, what that meant was that so many people in Britain at that time wanted to do better. I've got a little bit of money. If I get a bit more money, I'll be even more better. People will respect me more. I don't want to rock the boat. Now, in France, people had nothing. So they had nothing to lose. So they went and had a revolution. In America, they felt they'd been pushed so far that they revolted against British rule. But in Britain, there's been enough people who've had just enough to keep them from rebellion. But what we're seeing now is a bloodless rebellion. We're seeing people actually using the power that they have, whether that's through the ballot box, whether it's through free speech, to actually say, we've had enough of it. So I always say to people, I don't expect you to go out and throw bricks and stones. But what you can do is say, I'm not playing this game anymore. Look at the number of people that have written in and said, I'm not going to pay the television license anymore because it's just a con. The number of people that have sent letters to the Vatican saying, I want you to remove me from your records. You don't own me. Well, it's statements like that that have great power. Look at the number of people who go to conferences and listen to the alternative news. Look at the number of people who are refusing to let their children be vaccinated. I know that the vast majority still do, but there's a headwind building here in this country that the very nasty people at the top can't keep the cork on it. They can't do it any longer. And so what they're doing is letting a bit of steam out, but it's not enough. So I am hopeful for the future. I've always said we'll get there, but I have said it'll be a difficult and bumpy ride. So thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for listening to other people. And thank you for believing in the ultimate victory of humanity over this very small group. Let's not forget it. A very small group of complete madmen, actually. Some women, but mostly men. Completely mad. Totally unconnected to you and me. Totally divorced of any reality. Purely and simply wish to own the world and everything in it, and then kill everyone else off because they don't want to share the fact that there's an oak tree next to a nice river, and I don't want to see anybody else there. That's my oak tree. Or, you know what? I'll give you an example, JP. I sometimes go to the cinema, not often, but I sometimes go, and forgive me, but I used to believe that you used to go in, you used to pay your money, and you'd get a seat. And I went in, and the person said to me, I bought the seat. And he said, do you want a seat with more leg room? More leg room. So I said, well, do you mean that you've shortened? I was just being cross. I said, have you shortened the chairs then? No, it's not that. It's that we've moved some chairs. So now if you've got long legs, you can stretch out a bit. And I said, well, I'm 5'10", so I'm not that tall. I don't need that. All right, then. Do you want a seat with a better view of the screen? That's what he said to me. Do you want to pay extra for a seat with a better view of the screen? So I said, are you telling me then that when they built this cinema, which is only about 5 years ago, they built it where some of the seats don't see the screen? Oh, no, you can see the screen wherever you sit, but some seats get a better view of the screen. So I said, you know what, I'm not going to play the game. I said, it's not your fault, you're just doing the job. But I'm not going to play the game. No, I'm going to pay the price I've paid. I'm not paying any extra, that'll do me. And the point is that these elite evil people have said, right across industry, how can we get more money out of all these silly people, but not give them anything extra? And I've just given you and the audience a great example of that, where on Monday I went in and I paid money and I got my seat. On Tuesday I go in and I'm told, oh yes, but if you upgrade, or what the Americans call the extras, you can get this, this and this. But hang on a minute. On Monday, I sat in row aisle R, number 62 seat, and I paid £7. Why is that now £9? Oh, because that's a better view. Oh, because that's got more legroom, but they haven't actually done anything. They haven't done anything to make it better. And that's what's happening. I don't fly JP, but I know from talking to many people that gone are the days when you used to go on with your brother or your sister and you could sit where you want on the airplane. So you'd sit next to each other and talk. Oh no. Now, if you want to sit on a certain seat, you have to pay extra. And if you don't pay extra, instead of your brother or sister or your best friend sitting next to you, you'll get someone else next to you. So what they're doing is saying, we want more money off you for exactly the same service that you got. And that is a huge indicator that the amount of liquidity, the amount of money in the system is fast running out. And that's why this small group of people who are desperately looking over their shoulder and thinking, how do I get out of here? Now, if you're George Soros or Her Majesty the Queen, God bless her, or somebody like that, you have got your ticket out of here one way or the other. But all the other middle managers still in this top part of the pyramid, they don't have a ticket out of here because they're not important enough. And they're the ones actually that are now jumping ship and panicking. What the public don't know is 4 days before the election that saw Hillary Clinton lose, a large number of her White House staff cut their Twitter accounts to her because some information which never made it to the public was being talked about at the highest levels in Capitol Hill. And these people thought, oh my God, I cannot afford to be linked with somebody like this because it will destroy me. So even when people are on a payroll and they've taken a sworn oath of allegiance to somebody, when push comes to shove, they won't go down the pan with these people. They'll take an escape route. They'll use the ejection seat. And so what we've got is a group of people who now have no options left but the same thing, which is fight and fight and fight, and we'll drag it out. And what we have to do is not play their game. We have to say, we don't want you. You're not my rulers. I don't accept you. You have no control over me. Yes, you have the law, and I will abide by the law, but I won't give you any of my energy. And if more and more people were to do that and start to passively, quietly demonstrate and show that humanity could work as a group and that we're not all individuals who don't talk to each other, but we can work as a team, we would bring change within days. And I have said it, and I'll keep on saying it. If, for instance, 100,000 people, which is only a small number in a country that allegedly has 60 million people, but if 100,000 people went and sat down outside Parliament and completely blocked all the roads, completely, the police couldn't move 100,000 people, it would be impossible. And they did this between 9 o'clock in the morning and 11 o'clock in the morning, and then 2 o'clock and then 4 o'clock. And they did that for 4 or 5 days. And their demand was that people over the age of 65 had an extra £10 a week or extra £20 a week old age pension. They would do it because they would be forced to do it, because if they didn't, they would be destroyed as a government. But they count on the fact that the public is so only out for themselves. Why should I go and do that for somebody else? What's in it for me? Oh, they wouldn't do it for me. I haven't got time to do that. I'm too busy making money or too busy scraping things together. And because we don't operate as a group, because we don't work like that, we don't get things achieved. But when the system comes down, and it will come down and be down very soon, people will be forced to work together. They'll be forced to actually make friendships and to share information properly and work together and bring change. What a shame, though, we have to be pushed into it, and that vast majority of people can't just naturally evolve. But that's more to do with the control system that has been placed on people for thousands of years. And it's wrong of people like me to expect the vast majority of humanity to wake up just like that. You can't. They have to do it gradually, because you cannot undo thousands of years of programming in one night, but you can make inroads into it. So it's a really good question. It goes to the heart of everything. Humanity must be free. We must be free. Because if we're not free, we're stuck here going round and round and round in this blasted hamster wheel, while a very small group of people get richer and fatter and more arrogant. And we can't have that. So it's a good question. Thank you.
Very good. And all I have to say in one word, Simon, Toblerone.
Oh, wow.
Do you know about Toblerone?
Well, probably
not. All right. Austerity measure. Toblerone is now, they've increased the gap between, you know, it's made of a series of triangles that are packed quite closely together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're not so close together anymore. So there's a lot of air in the Toblerone. There is like 50% more air in the packet.
Well, actually, I'm not going to laugh at that.
No.
Because
this is an example of your...
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. What the elite do is they try and make fun of it, because I know for a fact, when I was at college, my favourite confectionery, I'm not going to advertise them, was a chocolate biscuit that used to have pictures of playing cards on the front of it, and it was a purple wrapper, maybe because it was purple, I liked it. But it was a biscuit with raisins in it and chocolate. And when I buy them now, I know that the amount of chocolate is only half of what was there. And the damn thing is much smaller. But what they do is they make fun of you and say, this is the company, the shareholders. Oh, you were smaller then. You were young. So everything looked bigger to you. Well, that's totally nonsense. I know when I hold something in my hand and bite into it, how much chocolate there is. I know how big the thing was. But this is what they do. They don't want to admit that they're charging you more money for a smaller product. They don't want to admit that, because that is actually then people would then start rebelling. But absolutely right. If I have a set amount of chocolate and a set amount of biscuit, and that costs me whatever it costs me, and my profit margin is being reduced, I'm not in a position as a capitalist to say, you know what, that's okay. Because what will happen is the shareholders, the top men, will say, we're not getting our return, so you need to increase the price of that. Well, we can't increase the price of it, because if we increase the price of it, people won't buy it. Okay, reduce the size of it. Keep your price the same, but reduce the amount of raw materials you put in it. And they've been doing that for 30 years. And that's it, exactly. But people believe it. They believe the lies. They believe the fact that, oh, well, when I was 5 years old, of course it looked bigger to me. No, nonsense. What I'd like to do is to go to somebody's old attic and find a chest and open the chest and find chocolate bars in there from 40 years ago and then actually bring them out on television and say, there you go, that's the same one. Look at that. Look at the difference. They couldn't argue with that.
I know, because I used to live in my grandmother had a shop with that sold sweets and everything. So I know how big something, you know, I got a good sense of measurement and how heavy a...
Absolutely.
I can say it now because it's not a brand anymore, but a marathon bar, you know that a marathon bar has a certain kind of, you know, gravity to it. And anyway, so let's just calm down, because like go and get your chocolate biscuit, Simon. This is Matchbox 20. She's so mean.
Okay, see you in a bit.
See you in a bit. And we're back. And I wasn't quite expecting that very sudden ending. And Simon, are you back with us? No, Simon's not back yet. So anyway, welcome back to More Spirit Radio, Connecting Consciousness. And indeed, do come and subscribe to our archives, and you can hear all of the Connecting Consciousness shows and all of Ever Beyond and everything else from this evening's alternative Sunday service, which tonight is starting with Simon's show. And I'm looking at the map of the planet as we are broadcasting, and it's very nicely populated, I have to say. So welcome everybody from across the world to Wolf Spirit Radio, and you can join us in the Wolf Spirit Radio chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen, and you can hear that. If you want to pose a question, and I would say it's probably a little too late to get it on the show by now, because let me just check the time of the last question that I asked was, it's asked 5:10 a.m. You know, you have to get in really early these days. Maybe I should skip over a few. But anyway, there are so many questions. So, did we lose Simon? Yes. Hang on, Simon.
No, I just got lost.
All right, let me just, you want to remove that, let me remove that, person now. There we go. Yeah, Simon, how are you doing? Right. Okay. Yes. I was wondering where everybody was. Shall we continue with our questions and answers?
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Refreshed suitably.
Good, 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 good. All right. So, right. This is from Andreas. Hi, Simon. Some have said that the people of Earth have to prove it. It is our own will to reinstate love as the rule of our planet before benevolent civilizations can intervene to further assist with our achievement of that goal. There have been increasing shining examples of humanity's moral and political courage and strength. The British exit, the overthrow of the fraudulent Clinton election arm of the cabal, growing numbers of white hat military police and government leaders, our connecting consciousness movement, etc. Many are awakening, risking their all, despite the massive deceptions that keep us physically endangered, genetically damaged, malnourished and uneducated by suppressed truth. Has humanity demonstrated clearly enough that it is our will to carry this timeline for the good through to completion this time? Have we earned any further help that is needed to win the day? Thank you for all you do to bring us.
Well, what a wonderful thing to write. On one level, it looks to be very depressing and very downbeat, but actually it's an accurate representation of what's happening out there. And I know many people listen to our show and they think, oh, you know, you should be more positive, you should be this, that and the other. And I actually say, well, the truth is, at the moment, we are in a struggle. And I don't believe some of the sounds coming out of the New Age that, you know, we just have to flap around the room a little bit and everything's going to be wonderful. We do have to do something to show that we are seeking change. The answer is yes. In fact, 2012 would never have occurred had we not got to a certain critical point. It's because that enough people are making the changes that they need to make that others are prepared to give assistance. The number of people that I have spoken to personally who live in America, who have heard the rumbles of what can only be described as explosions occurring deep underground. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, they are woken by these tremors and sounds occurring. And we know those are underground bases that are taken out. There are other bases where people got used to the underground trains. The train's actually supplying one underground base to another, and in many of those they've been reported as the train traffic has just stopped. The frustrating thing for me and for you and for everyone who believes is that we wish it would be more out in the open. We wish that a deep underground base could be blown to pieces and then shown to the world. Or not just explosions, but basically showing people what really goes on at the highest level. You know, Donald Trump, I don't care what people say, Donald Trump is not a Satanist. I'm sure he's done his bad things, but he's not a Satanist. And he knew what the Clintons had done. Like most people in power knew, but weren't prepared to say anything. It's come to something, actually, when the only person in America who is prepared to come out and challenge at that level can only do it because he's a self-made billionaire. Donald Trump is a billionaire. That's the only reason he can do what he's doing because the system can't control him. And he's actually said he's not taking the 400,000 annual salary that the president can claim. Donald Trump is only going to take $1. Now, that is a political statement saying you can't bribe me. I only need $1 to be president because I don't need any money. You can't bribe me. So that gives us an indication of just how much control and how many people are being, manipulated. So it took somebody of independence through billions of dollars to be able to stand up to the system. So we are getting there, but it is very slow. Okay.
So that's, there's a feeling that comes, but it's very difficult to quantify and make it a scientific, yes, this is it kind of thing. So talking of, this is it and this is what I say and this is what you say. Have you heard of this thing called the Mandela effect where, some people say that Nelson Mandela died in 1990s sometime in prison and other people say he died last year and that's what's on the news. And when did, what's his name? Ernest Borgnine die, and these other little movements in space that people don't remember the same way that they seem to be. Are we being, Simon, in some way gaslighted?
I'm familiar with it. It's not new, but it's positive because it's a sign of people's consciousness awakening across the planet and in large numbers, that it's not something that Mrs. Smith at number 52 Acacia Avenue experiences and keeps to herself. But little did she know that three doors down, the person there also experienced it, but they never spoke to each other, so they didn't get the movement going. The internet allows that. The internet allows that expression of interest and knowledge. Yes, I do believe in it. It's where literally somebody could see something and then speak to someone else who saw it and they have a completely different take on it. And it's not like, I misunderstood what was there. It's simply that they might even have the years different. Oh, that happened in 2010. No, it didn't happen in 2008. Or even a television program. They would say, do you remember the four people that were in this show? And someone will say, well, there was only three. So what we've got is multiple variations of possibilities. At the moment, human consciousness has not yet solidified down one line. That's why so many bad guys over the last 25 years have been attempting to push consciousness onto a different railroad. So that if we went down a new railway line, we would perhaps be doing what they want. And so when you've got a number of options like the Mandela effect is trying to explain, it shows that we're still not solidified. Now, I can tell you that up to as recently as 3 weeks ago, so it would be before the American election, there was a very serious attempt to push humanity off this timeline. Not push it off because they couldn't do it, but to push it to one side of the timeline. And it didn't work. I'm not going to go into detail why it didn't work, but it didn't work. But the very fact that there was a group of very powerful individuals, not all of them human, who were trying to push human consciousness to one aspect shows the desperation. It means they've plotted or modeled where humanity is going on this present, course. And there's no place for them. And that is why the very last desperately tried to push it across. So I do believe in the Mandela effect. I don't believe it's people, different perceptions. I think that people will engage in a particular subject or a particular energy stream, and they will see it on that energy stream. They'll meet somebody who has experienced what should be the same thing, but they have a different understanding of it. We are grasping the complexity of the holographic universe that we're in. We are grasping what's beyond and is a multiverse. And rather than get bogged down in the minutiae of it, we should use that as a starting point to do further research and to understand that we are capable, as human beings, of engaging in non-physical communication and divining the future. And it's nothing to be fearful of. So yes, I do believe in it.
Thanks, Simon. All right, so here's a subject close to my heart. From Lauren. Simon, were the Aldebarans in contact with the Vril Society physically, telepathically, or both? Also, the women of the Vril Society believed that the length of their hair helped them communicate with spirits better. Was that crackpot science, or is there something to that?
Right, interesting. They communicated with them through channeling. So it wouldn't even be through spirits. It would be through the movement of almost digital information through an energy field. So what we call psychic telepathy, but that's channeling. So Aldebaran or Aldebaran communicated with the Vril through usually women. It's not exclusively so, but that's why witchcraft is usually women. It means they are gifted, and most women have the ability. Some women have a great deal of ability, and these particular two women in the two organizations who were in communication with them got it channeling. I'm not laughing at the hair, because it's actually true. If you go to the Bible, we always go back to the Bible, Samson and Delilah. And Samson got his strength from his long hair. And so what did Delilah do? She cut his hair off while he was sleeping. Now, that may be nonsense, but what is the thread of information here is that the person has hair. If we believe in source, if we believe in a God that is everywhere at once and is communication with everything, how would we pick that up? Well, couldn't hair be like an aerial? If information is unseen and is travelling through the energies of the atmosphere and also out of the atmosphere, what would we have that would allow us to connect with that? And, you know, somebody like your good self with a beard, more connected perhaps than somebody like me who doesn't have a beard. These are very interesting questions, but the reality is, yes, they believed it. Now, whether it's true or not, but they believed it because they had done their research, and also from a biological point of view, small organisms have cilia, which is the technical term for little hairs, and they detect variations in the water. So a small tiny microbe in the water, if a predator fish comes near them, it will send up a ripple effect through the water, and the tiny hairs on their body would detect that. And so if that's a physical working, why can't it work on an energy level? Why can't the hairs on your body somehow pick up unseen information? So that's what they believed. And that's why the two women who were instrumental in the two groups had very long hair. Yes.
Also low frequency sound waves. I mean, we don't think about that. But if you after a day's growth, if you run your finger or your thumb along the skin backwards, you can hear it in your ears. You've listened carefully. You can hear the sound of your hair being twanged.
So, is this for beards on women as well?
I wouldn't venture, Simon. I wouldn't go anywhere near that. But I can, you know, certainly if somebody runs their hand across my beard, I can hear it in my ears. In my whole skull, it resonates. So that it's
okay, having not had a beard, and I don't know, but I don't think hair on your body was just simply to keep you warm. I think it had another aspect to it.
Yeah, so there you go. Hairy men might be psychic too. Anyway, let's step away from the razor there, and move on to a subject that is so. Thank you for that. So from Paula P. Hi, Simon. When someone is relocated by wormhole or vortex or time travel to empty space or the center of a star or in water and the person cannot return, what happens to their soul? Are there souls that were forcibly put somewhere that are now stuck there? If so, is there a way to rescue them? Thank you for everything you do for humanity. What a great question.
Yes, right. And one wonders whether this person is battling with something on a personal level. Source won't do that to you, but a negative entity with the advanced technology and an advanced mind, although obviously not that advanced because they wouldn't try to oppress people, but advanced in the sense that it can communicate with an artificial intelligence type environment, can entrap souls. The question said put a person. I think what they might mean is put the energy soul, because you couldn't put a person in those locations because the biological body wouldn't survive. So we'll just substitute the word person for soul. If you put the soul in the center of the sun, the soul wouldn't die. And the soul would basically choose where it would want to go, because it's not being coerced or held prisoner. There are devices that allow very negative entities to imprison a soul. You can't kill a soul. Well, there is a way to do it, but it's so complicated. I'm not even going to go down that road tonight. But basically, 99.9999999. Almost infinitum, but not quite. You can't do that to a soul. So if you took a soul and you put it in some godforsaken place, it wouldn't be a problem. It would just connect to source, because source is everywhere, even in a godforsaken place. So what they'll do is they'll have chambers where they can hold a soul prisoner. And that is what the Earth, until very recently, was a very secure prison. It's a prison, but it's not very secure at the moment. But that's exactly what it is. The souls are held, but we don't feel it a prison because we can go outside and walk around a bit. But in effect, when the biological body dies, the soul goes up, and unless you can get through some of the holes that have appeared in the grid, you are caught, stunned, and sent back again. But source does not involve itself with that, because it's about free will. I was trying to explain to someone earlier, you know, source is so evolved that it will create something and say, there you are, I've created you, whatever you do, it's up to you now, I shan't tinker with you. Unlike humans who build a zoo or a fish tank or something or anything, and then after a week say, oh, that's not working so well, let's have a tinker about. Let's do this. And then 3 years later, oh, I don't like the name of this. We're going to change the name of that. Oh, I think we'll relocate the building. We'll put that here. Don't like the color of the walls. We'll change the color. Humans can't leave alone, because humans, although the energy that created them was divine, because humans are biological creatures and come under mind control and God knows what else, the decisions that most people make are not on a divine pure level. Therefore, when we create something, we create it and it has a dropping off point. But when source creates something, it will last forever and ever and ever. So when source creates something, it says, you're pure, but if you choose through free will to be something else, then you will be something else. And off you go. So it will allow one entity to imprison another entity, because to intervene is wrong. Now, from a human standpoint, we don't understand that, because if someone is bullying somebody, you either go in and join the bully because you can get more chocolate or sweets or money off this person, or you go in to protect the victim and stand up to the bully, or you stand aside as a coward because you're too scared to get involved. Well, source isn't standing back as a coward. Source has said, I created both of you, agitator and victim. I created both of you. You have to run your own course. And that's very hard for people to grasp. They don't like that. They expect something to come in and snap the fingers and everything's okay. So back to the questioner. No, it doesn't make any difference where you put in the Milky Way or the center of the sun. It can't stop you. You would just go back to source or back to your star family. But if you're held a prisoner in an electronic device, which some people who are very, very, very amazing, they've got some memory back of that very same process, and two people have referred to them as the freeze box. Not where they're frozen cold in ice, but where their soul is frozen. And those things do exist. So, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like something you were talking about a couple of shows ago, weren't you?
Do you know, I don't remember what I did this morning.
All right. You were talking about how they got your three souls into your body. And they sort of basically, there was like a... it was like a rail or something. Your soul was drawn along a rail and into this room.
Nearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're a bit more advanced than a rail, but I know what you mean. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, that is at the top end of genetic, excuse me, energy soul creation. That is, as one person once said to me, oh, when they made you, they really took their time, because basically to put three parts into one person, usually it breaks down. It's very difficult to get three or more parts into somebody and it all to work properly. It's hard enough to get two parts, but to put three parts in. So yes, it can be done. But the questioner wasn't asking about that. The question was asking about, you know, what... Well, the question was also asking, what can we do? Well, you don't need to do anything for someone who's been placed in the sun, because that's not a problem. But for someone who's been held in prison, the equivalent of a prison, then what you can try and do, you need a medium, and you need to try to open a channel of communication, if you can't do it yourself, with that individual. And you can try and understand where they're being held. And if you can understand where they're being held, if you can ever get hold of me... it's possible, if you can drop me an email, I might be able to help, but I would need to know where they're being held. But if you can get, there are people on this planet who can open a communication with a soul that is held prisoner, because you can be physically, on an energy level, constrained to a location, but you can still communicate through it. So, yeah, give it a go. I'm sensing that someone feels a loss. I'm sensing that the questioner feels that someone close to them is, you know, locked up somewhere.
Yeah. So, hope for everybody. So, excuse me. Look, it's Christmas.
Is it?
Well, it's nearly Christmas. We've had all the things. It's the time in Lidl's. Sorry. Brandy liqueurs.
I think you've had too many liqueurs.
I've only had two. And maybe that's too many. Who knows? Anyway, very delicious. Excuse me. I know people hate that.
Yourself, my friend. You keep tucking in there. It's fine. We'll just sit here and wish we had some.
All right. Well, maybe. Look, they're £1 in Lidl's. They're brilliant.
Anyway, I'll go there tomorrow then. So I'm going to go and you've convinced me to spend my money. Are you a secret shareholder of Lidl's?
I wish I was. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Give food away to the poor.
Yeah. Anyway, look. Here, this is a very interesting one.
Go on then.
Dear Simon, the other week I visited the mausoleum of Vladimir Lenin in Moscow. Yet sometime earlier I watched your presentation at Leeds Conference, where you showed a rendering of the White King, White Reptilian, made by you in cooperation with David Chase. A strange coincidence is that both the White King depicted at your picture and the mummy of Lenin have one thing in common. Their right hands are formed in a fist, while their left hands have straight fingers, i.e. open-fisted. Is that an accidental coincidence, or is there some meaning behind it? Does it have any connection with the scepter and orb and the items held by a ruling monarch? Love and light to you, Simon and JP, from Kirill.
That is news to me. David Chase is a very, very gifted artist, and what we did, David was in the States, and it took months, because what would happen is that I would give an outline of what the being looked like, and David would draw it and send it by email, and I'd have to say, oh no, that's not right, and we'd have a conversation, then it would go back, and you can imagine the process. Hard enough when someone's sitting next to you, but to do it over that. So we agreed joint copyright on it, because he couldn't have done it without me, and I couldn't have done it without him. And I look on it now, there are things I would change about it, because I made the mistake of getting him to draw it as I saw it as a five-year-old boy. I will get to the answer in a minute, but this is just an interesting aside. And as a five-year-old boy, what seemed really, really big were his vestigial wings. And what I should have done was looked at it from perspective now. Because as a child, you're overawed by huge physical size. And I think that the wings were too big. So now if I had the chance to redraw it, I would reduce those wings by a good quarter, a good 25%. Right. I didn't have any say over the position of the hands. David chose whether to have the hands open or closed. I know he wanted one hand open to show claws, because we had a big debate about the type of claws the being had. The scepter, the orb, are instruments given to humanity by the reptilians, is absolutely right. That's why our queen, Queen England, has a scepter and an orb, and it plays a part and has done. The Egyptians had a very similar type, prestigious device, a scepter. You have symbols which are handed down, and the actual history of those symbols is forgotten. But I had no say over the position of the hand and that. I think what's interesting is that Lenin certainly had connections off-planet. But I don't know any more than that, but I know that he had connections off-planet. And one of the reasons that Stalin wanted him out of the way was that it appeared to Stalin that Lenin was leading a charmed life. In other words, no matter what happened in Russia, Lenin was able to sidestep it and still be the people's favorite. And Stalin was jealous of that, and so Lenin was removed. And Stalin was absolutely determined to be top dog. Stalin did not have or did not enjoy the same protection that Lenin did. So yeah, it's an interesting point. So I hope that helps.
Excellent. So, yes, Muslim. Right. Okay. Now, maybe further on the previous question, but, from Paul Atkinson. Hi Simon and JP, I would like to know more about Mu and High Brazil and their relationship with Atlantis and Lemuria. Many thanks from Paul. You're from your CC group.
Right. Thank you. Before I go on, this is a good point just to thank people who have very kindly donated. I don't want to make a big thing of it, but I just think it's nice to thank Christina, Elizabeth, Anthony, Sally, Carl and Laura. Thank you for donating. There's just a few names that I've pulled out. Just because I haven't mentioned people doesn't mean that I don't value them. I just did it by random, and I'll do some more next week. we talked earlier about Ireland being part of Atlantis, and there was another like empire's too big a word, but there was another seating of intelligence which we call Lemuria, which had a different political system, a different value-based system, and originally the two places had worked together, but over a period of time they began to work separately, and there was a particular war which still has a great resonation amongst many, many people. Many people will, you know, burst into tears because they will remember the end of Atlantis, etc., etc. There are a number of continents that can claim an energy connection to either Atlantis or Lemuria. But what's more important is the survivors. Where did the survivors go? Where did the survivors set up? And what we find is that reptilian energies will either leave these places alone completely because there's just no foothold for them, or if there's a fracture in the consciousness of that particular location, they will attempt to get in there and subvert the system. So in South America, in some countries, in relatively recent times, then sacrifice was part of the culture. That is a reptilian point. And yet the peoples were of a descended line who could trace themselves right back before Egypt, before Sumeria. But because of the fracture and dislocation of those peoples, it was possible for a false god to be introduced, and the blood sacrifices, and we talked about a questioner earlier on this evening asked about what is it about the blood, and you know that was very much part of drinking the blood of people. That's what, you know, the Aztecs did partly. But these countries can claim to have a connection to a very, very high civilization. That is why the shape of the pyramid is replicated a number of continents which technically have never been joined in human memory. So we need to understand, and of course a scientist will say, oh well yes, but you know, we give people a load of bricks and they'll just build upwards starting at a big base and they'll start up at the point. And I don't accept that. I think people were given a template. I think they were given a model and told this is what you build. So anywhere where there is a high culture usually means that you can trace it back. There was a very, very advanced civilization. But there are a number of places where the country itself wasn't connected, but there was a arriving of immigrants from a particular place, 7 or 8 boatloads of people, who set up a camp in a country that had no connection with any of this, but because the people had, they then communicated with the land. We're talking about a time when people were a little bit more connected than they are now. So they would communicate with the land would communicate back to them, and they would build up this energy experience. And that's very localized. So the answer is yes, ostensibly. There are a number of countries that can connect to either Atlantis or Lemuria, but it's generally through the arrival of the survivors.
Interesting. The arrival of the survivors. Okay, so well, we'll continue this, presumably, because this is one of the big stories of who we really are. Anyway, Sonia from Sussex. Lovely Sonia. Cairn Wolf. In a dream, I was given the Cairn Wolf to research. I was told that I shouldn't do readings in certain phases of the moon, too. Do you know what a Cairn Wolf is, and if it's connected to Sirius, please? I get visitations from dog people a lot, so I'm really intrigued. Lots of love, Sonia.
Right. First of all, I wish to be cautious of somebody that, or something that wants you to do things at certain times. You have every right to ask them why. What is it about certain phases of the moon that you don't want me to do X, Y, and Z on certain phases of the moon? And I would strongly urge you to ask that question. No good being should impinge on another being, and if it gives a recommendation, it should be prepared to explain why that is. Sirius A is a dog star, and and I don't really give a damn about established astronomers, but as far as I'm concerned, if you stand on Earth and you use your energy eye, you don't use your two eyes, you do your energy eye, then Sirius or Sirius as a constellation, as far as I'm concerned, is drawn out in a linear shape. The left-hand part of it is divine feminine. The right-hand part of it is masculine. And as you move in towards the center, it's balanced. And although, of course, unawake people just laugh, and I don't really care, if you come from the feminine part, you are drawn to cats on domesticated animals on this planet. If you have come from the right-hand side, you are drawn to dogs. And if you come from the central part, you can either have cats or dogs or no animals at all, because you just can't make your mind up on it. So we have a form of animals on this planet that sort of represent a more advanced human form. And it's wrong to think of these things as completely dog-like. That's, you know, that's just nonsense. They have two arms and two legs, and they don't walk around like on a dog on all fours. They walk upright, they have communication, they have weapons, they have, some have clothes. And some of them are very, very, very involved, and we've talked on this program before about some groups of them working with the United States Navy. And one group worked with the United States Air Force. And these were anti-reptilian, they were independent, and they had their own agendas, if you like. Think about ancient Egypt, the dog god, for want of a better word, was a very powerful deity to the Egyptians. And Sirius was key in the maintenance of an Egyptian empire. Absolutely no question of it. You had two major forces at that time, Cyrus or Sirius and Orion. And you either came from one of those backgrounds or you had shared lineage. So you'd have one pharaoh who was from Sirius or Cyrus, and he or she could trace their family back there. Therefore, the gods in flavor at that time under their jurisdiction as pharaoh would be those that were more heavily leaning towards Cyrus, and then that pharaoh would physically die, and a new pharaoh would come on who might have a connection to Orion. And then, although the gods stayed the same, then the pharaoh would favor this particular god. So through the lifetime of that pharaoh, that particular god was the god that was pushed by the official media, whatever that might be in ancient Egypt. So lots of papyrus was probably printed with their emblem on it. So it's not at all unusual for a person to have a connection or a visitation from anything. But you must remember that very rarely do these things come on an equal basis. They usually come with a deal. Which is, we'll do this, but we want this in return. And my advice to anyone who's having anything like that is to really get to the bottom of what they want and test them, put them to the test, check that they are honoring your free will. This is assuming you want to deal with them, but check that they're not trying to cajole you or force you down any road. My concern with the questioner was the moon phase, that is a little bit worrying to me. We talked a little bit earlier about Diana. She was the moon goddess. And I know that some black magicians, you know, they use the moon. It's very part of their programming. So please just be cautious. That's probably all I can say at the moment.
All right. Well, another question's come in. This is from Catherine. This is fascinating. Just in the last few minutes of the show, it goes back to the pyramids let me just read you what she said. Dear Simon, there are mazes underneath which generated energy from the sun and using heated water and cold water into the middle of the pyramid. The movement of water created the current and vibrated in a certain frequency. I saw a man in this bath people called Womb, made from basalt, and he was covered by water floating on top of it and getting this frequency through his body. It created a state of plasma within him and he traveled wherever he wanted. There are much more details I saw, but do you consider this could be a true vision, or I was taken to some misleading data?
No, I think that's absolutely right. I did say earlier that, the pyramid was used or constructed on many levels because they had the technology to do that. We're still taught in school and university that gravity is to do with the Earth spinning, when actually it's not. It's actually photon, it's light. It's light striking the surface and the material of the planet that creates gravity. That's what causes gravity. That's why when you're in space, there's no gravity because there's no planet. And so if you understand that, you can direct the energy, and you says a maze. I don't think I'd use the word maze. I know exactly what you mean. I'd look at it as a conduit.
Network.
Twist it. Intertwined. Maze is a good word. It means. But when I say the word maze to the listener, that tends to perhaps give the wrong image. It's much more of a energy. It's not just a trapper of energy. It's actually an accelerator of energy. This is what perhaps isn't quite clear here. It accelerates the energy and transfers it from a non-usable material, a non-usable force, and converts it into an energy force that can be utilized. So it was a grid of some sort that took raw energy, changed its frequency, and allowed it then to be used by devices for construction, and in this case it's for creation of plasma. So you're absolutely right. What you've seen is correct. You just slightly misunderstood, and I think you've done really well. Misunderstood what you've seen, but you've grasped the concept of it. So you're absolutely spot on. Well done.
Early form of solar panel. Anyhow.
Yeah, yes, why not? That's a damn good way of looking at it, JP.
Okay. So, let's have a look. All right, Planet X. Planet X, Nibiru.
At least he's not going to talk to me about the flat Earth.
No, I wouldn't dare. Not these days. Anyway, long time. The pass-by of Nibiru. What's your intel on this, Simon?
Right, well, I've consistently said that Nibiru was not going to hit us, and people have been saying Nibiru is just around the corner. It's there. It's in the sky. It's going to, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I've always said, no, it's not. You know, stop it. It's not the end of the world. There is a Planet X. There is a Nibiru. It will pass by. There will be very little disturbance. There will be some disturbance, but there will be very little disturbance. You know, and I've said it to people. Do you honestly believe if you accept that there are intelligences outside of this planet with technology that is beyond the concept of Star Trek, if you accept that, could you then possibly accept that those intelligences would allow the destruction of the Earth? No, they wouldn't, because this water world, whilst it's not unique, it is nearly unique. And people get vacation tickets from all over the multiverse to come here and look at this place, to experience it, to take samples and go back to their own planet. Like, you know, we would send an unpersoned robot to the moon and it would little scrape a bit of rock and come back, and then somebody would go and be greedy and sell it on eBay for $5 million. Well, people will come from other dimensions and come here to experience and take samples, but not to sell on eBay, but to have connected back with something that to them is almost magical. That is not going to be allowed to be destroyed. Certainly not by an empty hollow sphere that is nothing more than a spaceship. No. But it is linked in with our folklore. It is linked in with our history. And so it has a connection to humanity. Planet X has a strong connection to humanity. What I don't like is people who keep on every so often saying, Planet X is going to arrive in July. Planet X is going to arrive in September. Planet X is going to arrive in December. Now, I never, ever, ever say that because it's not. Planet X will arrive. That's why Lucifer Telescope was built by the Vatican partly to watch for the return. And it has returned, but it's on station at the moment. It's out there holding. It is real, but it is holding. And I've always said, I'm on record as saying, at this stage, I don't know whether there's anything living inside it or whether it's a totally automated sphere. I have no idea because it's so old and it's been going round for so many times. I haven't a clue. If I was the Earth government, I would be seeking to land a team onto it to see if they could establish connection with whoever is in there. And if it's fully automated, to take control of it. That's what I would believe that secret space program would be, one of their tasks would be. But no, I'm not going down this road. Planet X is not going to hit the Earth. We're not going to have destruction because there are certain things greater than us, technologically wise, but not necessarily spiritually wise, who won't allow it to happen. And yet, video after video after video, element after element on YouTube, banging on about Planet X. You know, and then these pictures shown of there's Planet X, you know, we've seen this picture. Well, do you know what? Where is it? And it's not that I'm against Planet X, because I've already said and made it clear I believe in it, but I don't like the fear that some of these people on YouTube are deliberately pushing out that it's going to hit the Earth or it's going to come so close and the half the ocean's going to be sucked up and all the cities down the east coast of America are going to be destroyed, etc. No, why are you in this? Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to put this out there? What evidence have you got? And it isn't. You get people who see a film on Hollywood or they read another article on YouTube, and then they just go and create that. Or they're part of disinformation and they're being paid money to do that. It's a fear program. We don't allow it to happen. All right. So from a human point of view, that's not what we choose to happen. And we create our own reality. That's not going to happen. This is a fantastic planet. Some of the humans on it aren't so good, but it's a fantastic planet. You know, it's like when one day the flying saucer lands and they say, look, it's all doomed. Get on the spaceship and we'll take you somewhere else. Well, no, we're not going to let the planet be doomed. This is a beautiful place. What we've got to do is to restore it to its former beauty. And we have to believe in that. So nothing is going to come from outer space and wipe us out or cause us heavy damage. That's not going to happen. And if people stop buying into this, they stopped liking stuff on Facebook and they stopped watching all these videos, then these people who are peddling this nonsense would actually have to stop. There is a Planet X. It is on a semi-elliptical orbit. It does come round every so many thousands of years. Sometimes it comes closer. Sometimes it comes further away. But it's not going to do us any serious harm. So that's my answer.
And that's your final answer. Thank you so much, Simon. Good to talk with you again. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks from now.
Fantastic.
This is a four-week month. Yes.
Yeah. Lovely to have the chance again to talk to all the fantastic people out there. God bless you all. Thank you, JP.
Thank you. A very increasing number. Every time we get another 50 or so. So thank you very much, Simon. This has been Connecting Consciousness.
God bless. Bye-bye.